And this morning we have a couple of people in, Sabrina Ryan and also Niamh Crowley. And we're talking this morning about the early years profile report. Firstly, Niamh, good morning and welcome.
Hi.
Good morning. What exactly is an early years educator?
But everything, really. I think we have a lot of job titles. But yeah, basically we work with children under six, and we are the people who care for them when their parents are away and work and stuff. We give them their breakfast, we give them their lunch, their dinner, we clean them up when they're dirty and give them hugs when they're sad. We do activities, and yeah, I don't know, we do lots.
So you're kind of like an extra parent, would that be fair?
A bit, like, we obviously don't get to give them the same amount of attention as their loving parents do, but yeah, we try our best.
Can you tell us about the training that you have to go through to become an early years educator? And would it be fair to say that that training is quite specific?
Yeah, it's very specific, and it's not really something that you can... Obviously, you learn a lot from it that you use in your life, but it's specific to your job.
Yeah.
You can't kind of throw it into anything else. The training that I've done, so a level five is your... VTech level 5 is what you need to work in the sector, which is what I initially done, which is a year, and you do your placement, you do all your learning about play and observations. But then I went on and done my level 8, which is a 4-year degree course.
Wow.
And yeah, there's a lot in it. You do your placement every year. You have a different, my specific one in Dundalk, you do 4 types of placement. First year is a regular creche placement. Second year is a special needs placement. Third year is kind of up to you. You specialise in something that you're interested in.
Yeah.
I went abroad. Some of the girls went to early childhood Ireland and, you know, different, not just creches, it was in other areas. And then your fourth year placement, you run a parent and toddler group within the college. Okay. Every week. So each placement was 7 weeks. And
I mean, by the sound of it, it sounds like a process that takes a considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
Would that be fair?
Yeah. In my case, it was 5 years. Yeah, it's a long time.
Are you glad you did it?
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely delighted.
Is there a typical day for you?
Not really. No. You have a routine, but...
kids are fabulous.
Anything goes. Yeah. No, it's... I absolutely love what I do, and it's a joy going into work every day, so... Mm.
And would this be a 9 to 5, or would you work evenings as well?
No evenings, but it's the crash is open from 7:30 to 6:30, and that's sort of standard.
That's a long day.
Yeah, well, you do, you know, if you're on a 7:30, you'll work till 4:30. If you're on the 8:30, you'll work till 5:30.
For me, I don't know what it's like to be an early years educator, but for me, the training which we spoke about earlier has to be quite specific. And the work itself, would it be fair to say that it's quite specific and intensive?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's very...
Now, the early years profile report that we made mention of earlier was published, I think it was last week, by Pubble. And I'm joined in the studio by Sabrina Ryan as well. Sabrina, can you tell us about the main findings of this report and... any concerns you may have about it?
Hi, good morning, George. Thanks very much for having us on the show
this
morning.
It's a pleasure, that's what we're here for.
It's very unusual for me to be on this side of the microphone,
yes.
On this side of the desk. I'm usually over in your seat, so people
You're
who,
better at this than I am. You can talk to yourself.
I probably could. To be honest, I spend most of my life talking to myself. So the Pubble report, I'm here today in a slightly different...
Exactly, yes.
A different kind of a hat. I work with SIP2 as an organiser for the early years sector. And the Pubble report, we're welcoming the publication of this Pubble report, but the findings from this Pubble report, and it's the same thing that we see year on year, is that you've heard Niamh outline the education that she has, the number of years she had to spend educating herself to this high standard. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the findings from this report are showing that the average early years education assistant is on €11.20 an hour.
Okay.
So we have... highly educated staff earning 70 cent below the living wage in Ireland, taking care of people's prized possessions, their children.
How in 2018, and we are a relatively wealthy country, I think, with the seventh wealthiest nation on earth. You can Google that, I'm right. How in 2017, 2018, almost 2019, can a stat like that be possible?
Well, it's actually from years and years and years of gross underfunding into the sector. The early years education sector in this country is in a massive crisis, down completely down to underinvestment. We have the highest childcare costs in the world as of this year. But we actually put in the second lowest investment in the OECD into the sector. So on average, it's about, now I'm going to go into a couple of figures here, so bear with me.
Okay.
About 0.7% is the average investment into early years education across the OECD. Now, it goes up as far as 1.8% in Iceland. But to be honest, if we did everything the way the Icelanders did, we'd have an awful lot better situation for a lot of things. But that's a whole different road to go down. So the average is 0.7%. The current investment in Ireland is 0.2%. It's actually the second lowest investment in the OECD. So what we have is parents paying phenomenal fees. And we hear about parents all the time when it comes to early years education and how the fees are astronomical. And they are. They absolutely are. I mean, we hear people talking about it's like a second mortgage. I did some research into how much it would cost for my own fictional children that I could put into early years education. And I'll be quite honest with you, I never really believed it was that bad until I was told that if I wanted to full-time care and education for my two fictional children, that it would cost me €1,600 a month.
It's staggering. When do you think? I mean, we are the Republic of Ireland. We are a country of 4.5 million people, 4.7, 4.8 million. If you include the nation as a whole, it's over 6.2 million. But that's still very small. There are much bigger countries than ourselves that have much lower childcare costs. How did that happen? How was it allowed to happen? And why is it that, I don't know who is pointing a metaphorical gun to parents' heads? Because if you can't, what I don't get is that if the state would at least pay some of this, maybe 50% of this, you might free up. Particularly the mom. The mom always gets it here. And if the mom is desperate, if the mom has qualifications and she wants to go back to work, yeah, it's catch 22, because if she does go back to work, it'll be to pay the childcare costs.
I think it's really interesting that you're looking at it from the point of view of the effect of all of this on the female population.
Absolutely.
And looking at actually the way you kind of talked about the figures of the population of this country, of the 4 point whatever million that we have living in the Republic of Ireland, 200,000 of those are in early years education. We've got over 200,000 children that are being taken care of by people like Niamh every single day. So it's a sizable portion of our population. But when we actually look at the workforce here, it's 98% female. So the negative impact of the low wages on a predominantly female workforce. I don't want to go down too much into the road of gender inequality, but it is a further example of gender inequality.
I couldn't agree more. I think nothing is more vivid than when you look at the stats and when you take a look at the situation as a whole and look at it as an overview. Mm-hmm. The people who, in their absolute majority, who lose out here are females.
Absolutely. Yep.
Is that a fair assessment? And that's coming from a guy. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. I mean, other people might have a different view on it. But to be honest with you, I think that overall it is the female population that are going to predominantly lose out on this, because the burden the burden is probably the wrong word. The responsibility of childcare it consistently falls back on women.
Mm.
It's going to need a considerable sea change in mentality for that to change. And it has changed a lot over the years. I see it in my own brothers now, and I compare it back to how my dad looked after us and how my brothers look after their children. So, you know, there is something changing there. But the problem that we're having at the moment in the early years education sector is that the low wages and the underinvestment is causing massive turnover. And there's an annual rate of turnover every year of 25%. That's a quarter of that workforce are leaving. And they're leaving the sector.
So is this annually?
Yeah.
So if my maths is correct, you know, maths wasn't my strongest point in school, but 1 in 4 stick it out for a year and that's it.
That the people would leave in a year. So they wouldn't, it's not that they would talk about that this person would last a year in that job,
yeah,
but that every year the entire workforce, which is in and around 20,000 people, 5,000 of them are, they're not working in the same industry as they were at the start of the year.
And I can only presume that many of these would like to stay in this profession because they've gone, they've got the education, they've spent all of those hours, and I know I've been there doing assignments and all of that kind of thing to get qualified to do something that they desperately would love to do, but for some bizarre reason they can't afford to do it anymore.
Niamh,
everything that Sabrina has just said, would you agree with?
Absolutely, yeah.
As an early years educator, would you get expenses?
What do you mean?
Can you apply for expenses? If for instance, I don't know whether you drive or whether you bike it or whether you walk it, but is this $11.27 per hour it for you? There is no other access to any other funding.
Yeah, pretty much that's my way.
This is it. This is it.
Yeah.
And Sabrina, can you remind people again where that $11.27 per hour? We're talking euros and cents here.
The 11.20.
11.20, yeah. Sorry.
11.20.
I've been overpaying you, Niamh. Seconds, can I have it back, please? Yeah. So it's 11.20. And this is how many cent under?
That's 70 cent under the living wage. 70 cent.
Is that legal?
Yeah. Yeah. It's above minimum wage, but it's above below the living wage.
Hmm.
So it is legal, whether it's... So right, sir.
No, but my, I don't get this. But by my rather naive powers of deduction, why then have a minimum wage and have a living wage if neither are the same?
That's the golden question. Absolutely, George.
I don't get that.
One of the most startling things is that recently there was another report published from the consulting company Mercer on pay scales, which is what we in SIPTU want to see in the sector. But there's a whole process behind getting pay scales. But Mercer did some research into the whole industry and they looked at the work that's being done, the level of education, the level of responsibility, and they basically lined up different jobs and they said, what's this job worth? And we are looking at where this early years education sector comes in. And there's different people within the early years education sector, like room leaders and managers, and how much money they should be on. So if we look at the current figures that are there at the moment, for a person in Niamh's position and what they are earning, and if they are working full time, if they were to be paid the lowest point on the Mercer pay scale, yeah, okay, so this is what they should be paid, they are being undervalued every year by €4,229.
Now, Niamh, when you hear figures like that, I've only got to look at your face to know what the answer to this question will be. But when you hear figures like that, Niamh, and you work in the, this is your profession, how does that make you feel?
It's sad, like,
and that's an understatement.
Like, I mean, I love what I do. Like, I absolutely love going in to work every single day. Like, but
is it fair to say that it's a vocation? I love doing this. This is my vocation.
Yeah, that's you're happy vocation. To be here every day. It's not a struggle, but like, I'm in a situation. I'm 25. Like, I live at home. I don't have mad expenses. Like, if I had kids and family and a house and all that stuff, like, I'd struggle a lot more. Like,
yeah,
even driving, I don't drive, but if I drove, you know, already that's an expense that I'd be struggling with, you know.
And again, just to clarify something I asked of you earlier, if you did drive, you would not get expenses for that.
No,
that would entirely.
Well, like, they do the bike to work.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, it's 45 minutes for me to cycle to work. It's not going to happen. But like, no, other than that.
What's the point?
No, like, and but you wouldn't expect that. Like, I don't think anybody really gets.
That would mean you work in another county.
Yeah.
Am I right? Sabrina, has anybody from SIP2, or maybe even your good self, sat down with relevant members of government and spoken to them about this? If so, what's their reaction been? If not, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been building the Big Start campaign for about 2.5 years. And the Big Start campaign is the it is making inroads into the early years education industry in order to completely transform it. So we've met with the Minister for Children, and Catherine Zappone, in fairness to her, she does pretty good work, and a lot of people within the sector really, really highly respect her. And she made a statement a while back that is absolutely startling. We have a Minister for Children who is saying to the country, if I was a childcare worker, I would join a union. That is the words of the minister. So,
can you repeat that, please?
Yep. So the Minister for Children said, if I was a childcare worker, I would join a union. So she is directing people towards unionisation, which is unprecedented, I'd say. Basically, she understands and she knows and she has recognised that there is massive underfunding in the sector and that their wages are diabolical. And there is a process in place whereby you can apply to the Labour Court to get a sectoral employment order. So this SEO process is what we are doing in SIP2. We need to have 1/3 of the childcare sector and the early years education sector as part of any organisation, but it has to be as part of one organisation. It could be an employer's organisation, it can be a trade union. You know what? If Niamh decided she wanted to start her own organisation, she could, but they need 6,000 people in order to go to the Labour Court to get a sectoral employment order. This is the, and the minister has said, this is the only way that we are going to invest in wages, because it ring fences money for wages.
Okay, so we have the minister coming out in favour of and probably siding with you. Would that be a fair assessment?
Working as closely with us as possible.
As possible for a minister to
yeah.
do. Okay, so there seems to be a little bit of give there, or maybe a lot of give there. Where does this process get bottlenecked?
The process gets actually bottlenecked from a couple of different in a couple of different ways. It takes time to build a union.
Yeah.
And we are about halfway to our figure. But we need people to come on board with it. If we don't have members, you cannot get to the Labour Court. So at the moment, it's still building, and we are gaining considerable amounts of momentum, and it is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But until we have the people who are working within the sector, and people like Niamh who come forward to advocate for the sector, do unbelievable work in changing the situation. We know in this country that there's great power in people. Yeah. We've seen it over the last couple of years. When you get a movement of people together, great things can happen. And that's what we need to see in the early years sector, is people coming together and saying, right, we're not actually going to take this anymore. And it's a natural thing.
Yeah.
The minister or the government don't have to do anything until the sector itself starts to start talking about it, start demanding it, start standing up and saying, no, we're not accepting this anymore. Because at the moment, the sector, up to now, the sector has been pretty quiet. They've kind of accepted a lot of these changes, because a lot of the things that have happened in this industry have been very, very incremental.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody tips you with a pen every day, you just get used to it. You just start to accept that this is now your new normal. And that's how we've gotten to a situation where we're the highest childcare costs in the OECD with some of the lowest wages.
As I mentioned earlier, for a country of 4.7 million, I just do not get it. I mean, there are many people, and perhaps the people who it affects most are the people who can afford it least. And it's
absolutely
shocking. Shocking. I don't get it.
One of the most startling things that we've realised is that for the vast majority of people working in the industry, they cannot they cannot actually afford to pay for the service that they provide.
Staggering, absolutely staggering. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a rocket scientist will never figure it out. Does that make sense? I'll leave. Unfortunately, we have to. It's coming up to. It's almost 10:30. I'll leave the final word with you, Niamh. Would you be optimistic or pessimistic that this time, 2 years, you'll still be doing the job that you love doing and you trained so hard for?
I'm optimistic about it because.
Good. That's what we love. Yeah. And this is what the state entrusts these people to do with the perhaps the most precious members of our society. Pay them absolutely nothing to look after our future.